If my kids are old enough to ask the questions, they're old enough for honest answers. What I'm never going to say to them is, I'll tell you when you're older.
Have you ever been lied to? Yeah, of course you have, because we all have, and it's awful, right? Being deceived breaks trust so quickly, and it makes it really hard to rebuild it. And our kids feel the same way. Merrily Bradley, mom of 8 kiddos, 2 through birth and 6 through adoption and foster adoption, has many things to say about telling our kids the truth. Merrily and her husband have spent 20 years parenting, not just their own kids, but prior to building their own family, they worked in a children's home as house parents, helping raise 17 boys in their 5-year tenure there. Merrily is passionate about caring for kids, about foster parenting and adoption, and connecting with others that are. And most days, she's just trying to put one foot in front of the other and clinging to Jesus as they lead the tiny humans God has entrusted to them. We hope you enjoyed this conversation with Merrily Bradley.
Well, Merrily, welcome back to the morning conversation.
Good morning. It's been too long.
Yeah. Okay. Just so you know, actually, I didn't think about it till this moment, but like you would probably be, actually not probably, you would be our most frequented guest on the morning conversation. We've had you back more than anybody else. I don't know if it's because we're trying to help you get it right or,
no, right.
Or you're trying to help us get it right, or actually the third option is actually the truth. We just love having conversation with you.
Thank you. I really was thinking like we've been doing this maybe for almost a decade.
Wow.
Like my kids so little. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about my little kids were tiny when we started having these conversations. And I think now like what did I know back then? But I'm seeing the fruit of it. There was so much we talked about in hope that these things would play out to be true. And I'm seeing that now with these great teenagers I've got.
The fun thing is the older your kids get and the more it's like, okay, no, it worked. The more confident that you can share. Like my kids are adults now, the 34, 32, 30 this year. They all turn that this year. They're awesome by God's grace.
Yes.
And God's wisdom, applying God's wisdom, our adult kids are awesome. And so now I can with great confidence say some things that I said a little bit more hesitantly before.
Amen. I feel you. It's not robot programming. You know, it's not if we just do X, Y, and Z, they will turn out perfectly. But Amen. There is That's some right. of that seed planting. You know, we're planting in hope and in faith and wanting to do it right no matter how they turn out. And then seeing them turn out great is beautiful.
That's the thing that's so interesting about parenting, because on the one hand, we don't completely control things. And so if her kid goes astray or doesn't quite end up where we hoped and would want, and maybe they're just making destructive choices at some point, that's not all on us. Like we can't go get underneath that, because it's like they're their free will and all that kind of thing. But man, if there's nothing to parenting, then why are we needed? Like there is this piece of influence we can't control, but we have a significant influence that we can have on our kids.
It's such an important job.
Wow. We're going to be talking about kind of different facets of truth, honesty, lying related to our kids. And you recently had an experience with your daughter, one of your daughters, that you wrote about in your blog related to this topic. So tell us about that. Get us into the conversation today.
My poor daughter, she's very direct, very blunt, and she loves all things medical.
I wonder where she got that from.
I did not birth her,
She grew up in your home. So anyway, go ahead.
Yes, she is a little me in so many ways. And she had just some very good questions for the dentist. And she asked, are you going to give me a shot? And the dentist said, no, we don't do shots here. That we would never want to do that. And kind of gave her some other words that weren't shot, but weren't truthful, you know, really hedging this, that we would never do that to you. And so she had her procedure. She comes back out to the waiting room where I'm waiting. And the first thing she says to me is, she lied to me. She did give me shots, you know, and she was so disoriented by that, because we have told her the truth, even when things are going to be hard, even when it's things that she's not going to like, that we try to pre-teach her, talk it through. I had already prepared her for shots before we walked in there. So it wasn't the shot that bothered her. She was ready for that. It was that this adult that she had trusted with an honest question had been dishonest with her. And that was just tough for her to deal with.
Wow. What is the impact when adults aren't honest with kids?
I think it's such a disruption in trust. And we are honest with our kids because we want our kids to know that we can be trusted, that we are believable, that they don't have to second guess us or worry that what we've said isn't true, or go to second and third and fourth sources to check if what we've said was accurate, that we tell them the truth because we want them to know the truth, first of all, but second of all, because we're building that trust relationship with them.
As you say that, I mean, we know that as parents, if we just pause for a moment, because if our kids lie to us, what does it do for us? It right. undermines our trust. So that same foundation that gets, you know, broken down when kids lie to us, the reverse is also true.
Yeah. How many times do we say to our kids, like, I don't even care if you took the cookie. I just right. need you to tell me the truth.
Yes.
And then here we are, you know, feeling this push to lie about the cookies because we just want our kids to feel good and right. we don't want to tell them the truth.
Right. You know, some would argue that adults need to protect their kids from the truth sometimes. Like, there's some things that are true that, you know, maybe young kids can't handle at the moment. You're a mom to numbers of children. I haven't said that yet today. So eight's enough.
Yep.
And so eight kids from some pretty hard life situations and experiences. What's your perspective on being honest with kids about hard things versus skirting the truth in order to quote unquote protect them?
Yeah, I think sometimes we don't have enough faith in our kids. And that they can handle hard truths when they're told in an age appropriate way. So they don't need things told to them that are inappropriate or too heavy for them to carry. But I also think they are capable of handling a lot more than we think they are. So my philosophy has been, if my kids are old enough to ask the questions, they're old enough for honest answers. So sometimes they ask questions that I am not really prepared to have that conversation in the moment, you know, but I will say, all right, the two of us tonight, we're going to talk about this and I will tell them the truth. But what I'm never going to say to them is, I'll tell you when you're older, because that does not get rid of the question. The question is still there. It just means my kids are now either going to create an answer in their mind that may be very detrimental, that may be untrue, that may have harmful outcomes for them if they believe that answer, or they may go to other sources. They may go to Google. They may go to the neighbor kids. You know, they're going to look other places for truth if I'm not willing to tell it to them.
Wow. That's powerful. That's insightful. I've never heard that before. I think that's a great insight. Like, when your kids ask the question, they have the question and they want an answer. If you don't give it to them, then you're opening the door unintentionally for them to find other sources to get their questions answered.
And we know that's true because we did that ourselves.
We do the same thing. Yes.
Yeah. You can think of the answers you created to the questions. And I mean, sometimes for me, even I'll push my kids a little bit to have them ask the questions because I know they're thinking about something or they're wrestling with something, or, you know, so I'll open the door to that even when it is a really hard topic because I want to be the one that tells them the truth.
You know, we want our children to be truthful, obviously, right? But the human nature is to try to cover up something that we've done wrong. Are there ways that we as parents, if we're not careful, we're actually inadvertently giving our children the opportunity to lie? Are we kind of setting our kids up in a way that maybe isn't helpful?
Right. Absolutely. I just am of the firm belief that if I come out and I find my kid with his hand in the cookie jar, I'm not asking him, did you take a cookie? Like, I'm not asking him. We're just going to go ahead and move on with this is what happened. Because if they know that I know, then why am I asking other than that they think I need them to lie to me? Because I know. So if I can give my kids the opportunity by just confronting them with truth and not asking them to lie, then that's what I'm going to do. So if I know my kid's done something wrong, I'm not going to ask them, what did you do? Or did you do this? We're just going to move forward with the fact that they did it and not going to give them an opportunity to feel pressured into trying to make excuses or lying about it.
So have you ever had an interaction with your kids prior to having this wisdom come to you where you did it counter to that and you kind of had to rethink it and go, I don't know, that was worked out like I would have wanted it to?
I've got to tell you, this was actually wisdom that came to me from the generations before me. You know, this is something I remember my aunt telling my mom and my mom telling me. Awesome. And just thinking, oh yeah, I'm not going to make my kids lie if they don't have to. I'm not going to add that sin on top of the sin of taking the cookie. Like, let's not even give them the opportunity for that.
That's good. So when our kids are honest about something that they've done that goes against, you know, something that's core to our, you know, our gut, like it's a violation of a value. And our knee jerk reaction can be to express deep frustration, disappointment, maybe in ways that isn't always productive, right? And we just got to kind of work that well, because again, we talked about earlier this morning that when our kids lie to us, we can feel like betrayed. you know, in a very real way. And trust has been broken. And we can speak out of that hurt and frustration in ways that maybe aren't helpful or productive. So what are some perspectives that you can give that we should keep in mind to help us handle those situations in a positive, constructive way?
Sometimes I need a timeout.
Sometimes the parent needs a timeout. Interesting. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I will tell them that it is for me. Like, I am going to send myself to my room for a minute because I don't want to damage our relationship That's in good. The way that we're going to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Especially now, I think with my older kids, and I can even think with my parents, I remember sometimes my dad saying, like, I'm not sure how I'm going to handle this. I need some time to think about
That's
it.
That's really good.
And it's good. And also, it was the scariest sentence in the whole world.
What's he going to come up with?
Right. But we don't need to feel the pressure that in the moment we have to have the perfect thing to say or the perfect consequence. Or, you know, we can take some time. We can tell our kids we need to think about it. We need to pray about it. Yeah. We're going to huddle as a team before we're going to make decisions about that. Or even before we say how we feel. Like, I need some time to figure out how I feel and be able to talk about that appropriately.
Look at all this wisdom coming out of you this morning. This is why we have you on. This is so good. Yeah.
It's the team. Teenagers, they do something to you.
Get wisdom or die. Like,
Absolutely.
But that's so good because, you know, just think about as an adult, and whether it's with your kids or other adults and friends and peers, if you said everything that came up in your head and your heart in the moment with various people, it'd be a disaster. Like, we know that. Like, we've had plenty of times in our lives where we kind of go, I'm just lock it down, shut the mouth. Yep. Like, I'm not going to say anything at this moment. I need to think about this. That applies to our kids as well. Doesn't mean that you just kind of spew out anything that comes to mind out of frustration and disappointment and hurt. And yeah, I love that.
Absolutely.
It's okay just for the parent to take a time out, regroup, rethink, and then come back and address the situation. That's not a negative in any way.
Absolutely not. And you know, sometimes you say the thing you shouldn't have said and you realize it, you know, either immediately or later.
Come back.
Yep. You got to come back. So
apologize.
I think those are the times to say, yeah, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
That's not what I wanted to say to you. I should have just taken some time to think about it. And I think that's how we model for our kids. We're all going to say the dumb thing.
Yes.
It's okay to come back.
Yes. So many times I worked with kids for numbers of years. I've had kids. And like, when parents aren't willing to admit that they were wrong, drives kids crazy because they know you were wrong. Like, they know it was wrong. And it just, again, talk about undermining trust, because that's not honest either to not come back and say, you know what, I was wrong in that situation. That was not good.
Yeah.
You know, it's good.
Yeah. And as our kids get older, I mean, even figuring out, oh, I made them uncomfortable. You know, like, what I said wasn't even necessarily wrong, but it wasn't kind. You know, like, it was, I could still apologize for those things too, because I want them to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God is always at work among us.
2 Corinthians 2:15 says, "Our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing." Nathan can attest to the truth in that verse as he leads Living Water Rescue Mission, a ministry in York and Columbus that helps the hurting and the homeless in the name of Jesus Christ. Like when he met Randy.
He came in with a very bad attitude, just didn't want to follow any guidelines. Okay, here's a line, don't cross it. And the first thing he does is seeks to cross it. And so we actually ended up having to remove him from the facility.
Randy hadn't liked the Christ-like fragrance he was smelling, but that aroma and the truth he heard from the mission lingered with him. So when Randy ran out of other options, he knew where he wanted to return.
We ended up getting a call from him, very humbly apologizing for his behavior while here, and mentioned that he knew that we cared about him and he knows he needs to be somewhere like that, and asking if he could come back.
This time, Randy was open to truth.
He heard the gospel and there was faith and repentance. His heart had been conquered by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went from thinking that we carried about us a stench of death, something he wanted nothing to do with, and now this was a place of life.
God is on the move through the Living Water Rescue Mission as they help the hurting and the homeless in the name of Jesus Christ.
God is doing something right now.
MyBridge Radio, celebrating God at work among us. Share your story. and join the conversation in the Connect Now section at mybridgeradio.net.
So, Marilee, preschool children can be very imaginative. You know,
yes,
they can be very into the make-believe, right? They tell us a story as if it really happened, and it didn't really happen. They made up a lot of it, which is good, right? That's good imagination, that kind of thing. So how do we help children learn the difference between make-believe and actually lying?
Yeah, I think those are things we kind of address in the moment, but not in the way maybe you think. I like to roll with it. Like, that's a really fun story. And then what happened, you know? And then what if this had happened? What if a gorilla came in? You know, like, we're just going to go with that this is imaginary.
A pink elephant.
Exactly. Yeah. Enters the room. But what we're not going to do is pin them down of, is that true? Or are you lying to mommy right now? Because they just may not have the developmental capacity to understand these things. So we are going to go with this is imaginary. And we're going to flesh out that idea of imaginary and fantasy. And that's great that you have that kind of creative capacity. But I'm not going to make this into a big, you are lying to me right now. And we need to have a consequence for that.
So what I'm hearing you say is, let's keep playing it out so it gets to the place of clarity of, we're just making this stuff up, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yes, because this is totally normal, totally developmentally appropriate. I don't know that this is sin. And if we can keep playing this out that we are being silly right now, then we are all on the same page about that.
That's good. Another area where children have to sort things out is keeping secrets versus not revealing surprises. Like, so you've got some good thoughts around that. So how do you distinguish between those two with your kids, and why is that important?
Yeah, we've talked with our kids about the fact that we never keep secrets from our parents. Like, there, no one should ever ask them to keep a secret from their parents. And if someone is doing that, they should be highly suspicious. Then that is something they extra need to come talk to an adult about. But there are times where we'll have surprises, and we'll say surprises are something that when someone finds out, they're going to be happy about it. When it's secret keeping, we're not usually keeping good secrets, but surprises, that's going to be a fun thing to find out. And we can understand that that can be appropriate, but that secret keeping is that breach in trust again, if you feel like there's something you can't talk to a parent about.
So how far does that go? What I mean by that is, so if it is legitimately protecting a surprise, is it okay to lie? Like, is it okay in that moment to say, well, I don't know, or whatever the thing is you're trying to do to protect the surprise?
Yes, we will. I think hedge is probably the appropriate term of like, we'll see. And, you know, I have one of my kids that, because of his trauma history, absolutely hates surprises. Like, they are not fun for him. He is highly stressed the whole time up until then. So I have learned that, like, if a surprise isn't fun for him, then it's not fun for him. So he will know that, like, packing everybody up and we're gonna go to the Omaha Zoo, it's gonna be a surprise for them, but not for him. Like, I will tell him the night before, like, this is gonna be a surprise, but I'm telling you, because that's what he needs. So I think for some of our kids, if we can tell, like, a surprise is not a fun thing for them in general, they don't like being surprised, I think it's okay to realize we're all unique in that way.
So, you know, some of the stories in the Bible are pretty amazing. Like, they're like, wow, did that really happen? Right. So what are some ways that you teach your children about the unique, we'll call them unique truths of the Bible?
Yeah, I think the first part is, because we are the first people they have to learn to trust, we tell them the truth, so that when we tell them the Bible is true, they are prone to believe us. Where if we have been people who have been dishonest with them, who have, you know, made up little stories to make them feel better, I think it's going to be a lot more difficult, challenging for them to believe that the Bible is true when we tell them that. And then for our kids, encourage them, especially as they get older, to ask the hard questions, and that the Bible is independently verifiable, that we will talk about, you know, we were talking about reading through Luke 2, which we do every Christmas. Our kids will memorize it. And we start with, you know, in those days, Caesar Augustus. Okay, well, who's Caesar Augustus? That's an actual guy. We can find him in history, that so many of these things can be corroborated by outside sources. So it's when they're little, just teaching them the stories. And as they get older and say, that sounds unbelievable. Well, why can we believe that? And what other people do we know who believe those things that we trust, who are smart, who have done this research, and what can we learn from them?
When I think about our kids, you know, there are some things that one of our kids comes natural, comes easy. It aligns with their personality. Like, so if they do it, not that I don't sell, we didn't celebrate it, but it was like, well, that's just who you are, I guess. And right. The other ones, like when they would do that, like you're going like, that's huge. Like that's so counter to the way that you're wired normally. So you showed some real character in doing that. There's just differences on different things that our kids did depending on what their personality is. So when it comes to being truthful, I don't know, is there anything in there with personality? And your kids have come from very different backgrounds, the ones that you guys have adopted. Like, is there something in terms of personality and or experiences that kids have had that impacts how easy or hard it is for them to tell the truth?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, lying is a survival skill for a lot of kids, especially if they've spent years and years trauma. Lying is how you get by. And breaking that habit is extremely difficult. And it requires an exerted effort. It is not exactly what we're talking about right now. You know, like it's a whole different process. And for parents that are struggling with that I have so much of a heart for that. It requires that consistent truth telling and encouraging truth telling and addressing things that are untrue. I do think personality wise, like my daughter, who's very direct, does not struggle a whole bunch with telling the truth, because she's going to tell you the truth. She's going to tell me the truth. I mean, she's just, that is how it comes naturally to her. And I'm that way too. And I think what I found is interesting personality wise is when I'm talking to other moms, this all feels fairly obvious to me. Like, of course we tell our kids the truth. But when I talk to moms who especially have maybe more people-pleasing tendencies, they struggle with seeing their kids be afraid or be hurt. Yeah, then it's really hard for them to tell their kids the truth, mm-hmm. because in the moment, they don't want to see them struggle.
Yeah, now you just flipped that on me, because we were talking about kids' personality, hard to tell the truth. And now you went to the parents and said, hey, there's a personality thing within parents that makes it easier or harder for them to be honest with their kids.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, it goes both ways that I see my people-pleasing kids, you know, have more of those tendencies, have more of a tendency to lie because they really don't want to be in trouble and they really don't want to believe that they could have done something wrong. You know, that's really a struggle for them. But I think we can accidentally raise that in our children if we also are struggling with needing for them to approve of us, or just really not wanting to see them have to struggle emotionally. So we just don't want to be honest with them.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes something happens with our kids and it makes us question whether they're being honest or not. And they're like, is that really the truth? Are you lying right now? Right. And you just can't tell, right? You're not able to get that discernment very easily. How do you handle that situation when you got a situation with your kids and they're telling you something and you're like, I'm not sure that's true, but you can't really nail it yourself.
Let's talk about how hard that is when you have 8 kids, because who drew on the wall? You know, it's just,
somebody did.
A lot of options, right? Thankfully, the first time that happened, there was only one kid who knew his ABCs. And so it was clearly him. So when they don't want to take ownership of something, I really release it. I hate that. It's really frustrating, but I will sit down with all of, especially when it's no one will take ownership of something that someone in the house did. Then we will all sit together and I will tell them, I don't know who did this. And it's really sad to me that someone is not going to be honest, but just because I didn't see it doesn't mean that God didn't see it and that your conscience isn't going to be bothered about this. So it's not my job to make sure that there's always consequences for things. It's not my job to try and punish everybody because somebody did something. It's your job to be honest with me and let me know. And there are rewards and there are consequences in life that have nothing to do with what mom can do. So I just have to let it go because I can't actually know. I can't actually solve it. And even if I try to pin somebody down, I might be wrong about that. And I want to leave room for that.
Yeah, I've been wrong before with my kids. I actually had to apologize to one of my kids after she left the home because I would find dirty dishes that were supposedly washed. I kind of get on her a little bit thinking that was her. And then she moved out. She left, became an adult, like left our home, and it was still happening. I'm like, oh, it wasn't her. So I had to go back and go, okay, I was wrong.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been there. We've all, as a parent, where you feel like, all right, I've put in the puzzle pieces together. This is clearly what happened. I just need to lean on you enough for you to confess or, you know, but and we're wrong
sometimes. It's cool. It's cool what you brought in there, though, about the God factor, to be able to just go, God's part of this mix in your home, in the heart of your kids, right? And this whole thing about very scripturally, even for those before they come to know Jesus, God has put a conscience in all people to know right and wrong. And you can really speak to that conscience and then trust God in them and the work of their conscience God put within them to do some work that you can't do in that moment.
I have to hope for that. And I know for myself, there have been times where nobody knew what I did, but I knew what I did, you know, and eventually that got to be too heavy and I had to go back. So I trust that for my kids. We had one time when my oldest kids were toddlers and they had done something and I didn't know who did it. And I said, you know, even when mom's not watching, who is always watching? And my like 4-year-old said, the dog. I was like, well, that's not quite what I was going for.
Well, you know,
if he could let me know.
Reverse those letters, right?
Right. He was so close.
That's right. That's so good.
There are people unreached.
In places so hard to reach.
Few have been reached.
Few have been reached.
How could we forget?
In Nebraska, we have Bibles that abound, churches on our corners, and Christians in every neighborhood.
That is not true everywhere. There are places overseas where people have never met a Christian, held a Bible, seen a church, or heard the name of Jesus.
Those who don't know, or just don't know yet.
The harvest is plentiful.
It's plentiful.
Let's harvest this field from sunrise to sunset.
Activate Global, my bridge to the nations. Find out more at mybridgeradio.net.
So, Marilee, we're talking about interacting with our kids, about truth, about lies. Like, in the reality of the world, there are people out there that we need to kind of not necessarily trust all the time. Like there's a level of lack of truth that's in our culture, whether it is sometimes depending on the schools that you go to, some things they hear from a teacher may not be true from our perspective. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're watching something on TV, an advertiser may say something that's not true. They may have a friend, they may have a book that they're reading even that has things in it that are not true. And so we don't want our kids walking around paranoid about everyone's going to lie to me, but we also don't want them walking around ignorant in the sense of invulnerable because they're not aware that everything that coming at them is not always true. So how do we help our kids develop discernment without paranoia?
Yeah, man, I feel like a broken record, but I feel like the first thing is that we are telling them the truth from young ages and that they know they can always come to us if something does not line up with the truth that we've expressed, that they know they can ask us that. But I think when we haven't told them the truth or when we've said that's adult business or whatever it is, then they are much more vulnerable to being led astray by someone who will tell them a truth. They will tell them something. So now that's the only truth they have. So my kids have definitely been exposed to other perspectives. They're in public school. They've been exposed to ideas and values that are not our ideas and values. And I've been so proud of how they've been able to come home and say, okay, so this is what we're talking about in class. And I don't think this is right. And we'll talk that through. And we'll talk about what are reliable sources, who are people that you can trust, and how do you know that you can trust them? You know, how can we discern what truth is? Does it line up with scripture? You know, there's so many ways to talk about it, but I really do feel like the beginning is that our kids have to feel safe to have that conversation with us because we are trustworthy and they know that we will tell them the truth.
About this number of times over the years since I've heard it, that when they are working with cashiers in banks, tellers, the way that they train them to discern a counterfeit bill is by giving them real dollars to work with, right?
Yes.
And they work with the real thing, and they know what the real thing feels like. And so as soon as they get something that's not real, they go, oh, this is not real. This is not, you know. And so we've got to, it just kind of, I know this wasn't exactly what we're talking about there, but it really struck me like the importance of making sure that in the home, they're hearing a good dose of truth. Because otherwise, how are they going to know when they hear something out in the world, wait a minute, that's different than what I'm hearing from at home, right? But if there's not enough truth flowing in your home and in the various sources that you've trusted in, whether it's church or whether it's whatever the context is, Bible study, small groups, whatever kind of things that you're giving your kids exposure to the truth, there's not enough of that going on. They're not going to be able to discern a lie to even then come back and ask the parent about. They're just going to take it in.
Right. And I think too, there's a complicating factor of we have our values and beliefs that are important to us at home. And then there are ways where there are people that we love and respect and trust who share fundamental values with us, but are different on other aspects. And are we talking to our kids, especially as they get older, about some of those nuances, that there are ways that we can disagree with people when we share these underlying important values? Or are we teaching them that anything that's different than what we have said is automatically a lie, or these are automatically people that we hate? Like how we respond to those people whom we may have differences with, and what are differences that are core differences, what are differences that are truth differences, and what are differences that may be preferences or how we work out our faith. It's complex, and we see that more as our kids get older.
Yeah, I can always talk to you forever, but let me ask you one more question here. Again, we live in a time when we've got kind of a new repackaging of the era of relativism. Like it's it's relative. It's depending on what you think, there isn't an absolute truth, right? So now it's this whole thing we talk about, well, what's your truth? Speak your truth. Like if it's true to you, it's true. And it's just a remake of an old deceitful, you know, thing out there that's very destructive at its core, because we as Christ followers, Bible believing, you know, God, source of truth, know that there is absolute truth that resides in the person of God. So how do you train your kids in that way, that to let them know that regardless of what they're hearing out there, there is a source, and it's not mom and dad merely.
I think it's absolutely steeping them in scripture, in Christian community, and people that they can love and respect and trust who believe these things, just helping them have that strong base and foundation, and then helping them interpret when someone is saying, this is my truth, how do we interpret that? How do we respond to that? And understanding that not all things can be true, but we can love people who believe something different than we do. And that may be the way that they come to experience the love of Christ. It may be through us. So if someone is saying something is true that you know is not true, how do you lovingly confront that? How do you continue to have relationships with people that may believe things that are different from you? I mean, those are the challenges our kids are experiencing. And we are not encouraging them to just cut people off or out that are struggling in those ways, but to help our kids understand, why might someone believe that? What kind of distortion is that? You know, what kind of pain might put them in that position? And how can we have empathy and love them, and then also speak truth to them? That truth and love, that truth and relationship is so vitally important.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Yeah, it's fun.
We'll have to do it again soon sometime.
I know it's way easier said than done, but I love Marilee's wisdom and how she simplifies things that my brain can quickly want to overcomplicate. What I'm really challenged with after this conversation is finding that balance of treating my kids like kids, but also trusting their leading with the questions they ask. Like she said, her rule is if they're old enough to ask the question, they're old enough for the truth, because we want to be the ones telling our kids the truth. We don't want them finding it somewhere else. And what a beautiful opportunity, really, to build a relationship and deep trust with our kids when we take the time to give them honest answers. Just loved this conversation, and I hope you found some pieces of wisdom in there for yourself. Thanks so much for being here and spending your time with us. We'll see you next time.